calling the Code Enforcement Board meeting Thursday, December 9th, 2010 to order. At this time, I'd like to ask anybody in the audience that has a cell phone if you'd please silence it or turn it off. And if Giorgio could start us off with the invocation, please.
Heavenly Father, we ask for your guidance tonight as we review the cases before us, and that our decisions are just. Amen.
Amen. Keep stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Brown?
Here.
Ms. Wilson?
Here.
Giorgio?
Here.
Mr. Cattleman?
Here.
Mr. Bakowicz?
Here.
Mr. Mosley and Ms. Sasso are excused. We have a quorum.
I have a motion for approval of minutes.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Pass unanimous. Chip, if you could swear in your officers, please.
Yes, please.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Let the record reflect that all the officers took the oath this evening. Lorraine Kennedy, Jim Bowe, Dwayne Thomas, Dan Baker, and Dave Thompson, as well as myself, Chip Rich.
Okay. Is there anybody in the audience who want to present the case first? Or?
We do have some things that we will run first. We'll do the representation, if that's okay.
Yep, that's fine.
Good evening, board members. Chip Rich of the City of Ocala. I'm duly appointed Code Enforcement Manager. I'm certified by the Florida Association of Code Enforcement. I've completed all four levels of training. And I've been working with the Code Enforcement Department for about 33 months now. I have about 30 years' experience in law enforcement, so I'll be presenting the cases this evening. If it pleases the board, I'd like to proceed to the first case that we have representation on from the Building Department, COM 10-1884, a case involving Inspector Dwayne Thomas, Joe Sraya, No. 1 LLC, Nicholas G. Fusick, Agent, a case location 1831 Southwest 5th Place, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 34141, definition of registration of property requiring registration, and Section 34142, registration of property by mortgagees or owners. Violation of Section 82181, definition for dangerous structure, and Section 82182, dangerous building declared a nuisance, abatement required. The parcel ID is 22620070029. Legal services obtained on 12-2-2010 for the NOV and the NOH with the respondent and the agent. We post the property on 11-23 and 11-24 for the NOV and NOH, respectively. In the case file, we have a structural evaluation of scores 50, dilapidated by Inspector Dave Thompson, who is here and present to testify this evening. We've included a copy of the SunBiz report. There is a petition on file that we will go over with our staff recommendation. And the permits required would be a building permit to repair or demolish. The summary of findings is that Officer Dwayne Thomas responded to this location due to citizens' complaint upon arrival observed violation of city's code as stated above. Additional investigation by Officer Thomas revealed that the structural was required. A structural inspection has been completed by Inspector Dave Thompson, scoring 50 points, dilapidated, required extensive work to bring the structure up to current Florida building codes. Officer Thomas has been working with the respondent and obtained some compliance, primarily with the Section 3495, which we removed from the case. But due to the number of previous cases with the response with this respondent and his uncooperative attitude displayed by the respondent, all of the problems have not been abated and the violations remain. The respondent has filed a petition for extension of time requirements. At this time, I would call Inspector Thompson up to the stand. Dave, could you basically give us a brief summation of your qualifications?
24 years building contractor, 16 years building inspector, chief building inspector, city of Ocala, licensed in all trades as building inspector and plans examiner.
Did you have an occasion to look at the residents at this location?
Yes, I did.
Could you briefly explain your report to us?
Yeah, I had been out to the house a year and a half ago, an informal inspection, Ocala Housing Authority had called and had concerns about the structure. The tenants in the house, which were subsidized by the Housing Authority, complained about a lot of cracks in the walls. They seemed to think they were severe. I went out, looked at the house, and indeed they were. We had separation in the block walls up to 1+ inches for both vertical and horizontal, mostly on the rear wall, which is the north wall, and coming over onto the east wall. I had called my contact, I can't remember her name, at the Housing Authority and advised her that the house had severe structural problems and that it would be a good idea to get the tenants out of the house. When I went back out, the request of code enforcement in November 29th, I noticed that the cracks weren't there anymore, but they had been filled with mortar, so there was no structural repairs done. It was basically cosmetic. What's causing the cracks, I don't know. I'm not an engineer, and that's what that would require. I don't know if it's there. A lot of large trees close to the house, oak trees. It could be roots that have caused the pressures on the footing. It could be something, a problem with the soil. It could be expansive soil. It could be sinkhole. It could be a number of things, but it would have to be investigated to find out exactly what repair would be needed.
But you were saying you had cracks, mortar in the mortar on the walls, right? Did you see any cracks in the flooring?
Well, I couldn't see through the carpet or vinyl or tile.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I remember also explained about the roof.
I want to remind the board members that we need to indicate our name when we speak for the record.
Sorry,
that was Latricia Wilson.
Chipridge, what a question about the roofing.
Yeah, the roof appeared to be damaged by a tree branch, possibly a while back. It wasn't new. It's been there like that for a while. But if you look at the pictures of the house now, with all the mortar joints filled in, you can't see the major cracking that I had observed on my initial trip out there last year.
Understood. You could stick your hands through the crack.
Yeah, right. See, it on this back side here?
Like a stair crack that's going up on the bottom of the last page of pictures.
Right. Now, this window to the west, or to your right, looking at the picture, if I remember correctly, was the kitchen window. And it was this area that's between those two windows that I could actually see the separation inside the house and look outside into the backyard. And that was the area where I could probably put my hand right through the joints in the block.
So basically the building department would require structural repair here, or an engineer drawing?
Yeah, we'd need an engineer's investigation, you know, to find out why this building has cracked the way it has. I also noticed on the east corner, we had a situation there, which they call rollout, and that's when you have different pressures in the structure, and in this case, the block has no place to go but to bulge out, much the same as if you held a piece of paper in your hand and push down on it with your fingers, it would have to bow out somewhere, and we have that in the southeast corner of the house.
Albert Kim Brown, I have a question about
Here's
the roofing.
Area.
Is the roof deteriorated completely?
No, the roof is bad, but compared with the walls, that I would say would be the least of the problems. If you look at the front part of the roof,
the first picture on the first page would indicate where that bulging was occurred, and that has been just filled in with mortar.
Correct.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. And the roof can be repaired, but
yeah.
It needs to be taken care of.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
As a recommendation, plus we also have a petition that we hear in the same case from the respondent.
Question, Scott Cattleman. Do you feel the house is habitable the way it sits?
Not until we find out what the problem is. When we see cracks in masonry walls that exceed an inch, we're suspicious that there could be a severe problem that could be detrimental to the occupants.
And who's been living in this house since the local housing authority removed their occupants? Correct?
Not to my knowledge.
Have you had any contact with the owner? You have, and have they had an insurance company look at it, or
the owner? I guess basically we would go to his petition at this point. He does not want to reveal that information to us. He's been extremely argumentative and combative as to what he feels needs to be done with this house. And for us, our staff recommendation would just be to find the respondent guilty of violating Code Section 181, 182, 34, 141, and 142 due to the house being open and vacant. The respondent to obtain a building permit within 30 days to bring the residents up to current Florida building codes, regulations within 180 days, or obtain a permit to demolish the structure within 30 days with all demolition and cleanup of the debris to be completed within 60 days, register the property as required by the property registration ordinance, pay the administrative cost of $125 within 30 days, failing which a fine of $25 per day in the city to do the work, utilizing all means required, cost assesses lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. If we had entertained his petition at this moment, he is willing to work with the city. He could not be here this evening. If you can go back to petitions in your case file, under 10 CON 10-1884, he's simply requesting an additional 60 days to make a determination as to what work will need to be done. He did cut and clean the property, so we did remove that charge. But we still want him to make a determination as to what he wants to do. The city would stand to approve here and to agree to his petition to grant him an extra 60 days. So instead of 30 days, he would be 60 days to obtain a permit from the building department, 180 days to get the work done, or 60 days to obtain a permit to demolish, with an additional 60 days to have it all removed. So if we agree to his petition, we would support his petition to have a little more time to make a determination as to what he wants to do there. And of course, if he has to obtain the permit, he's going to have to work with the building department to figure out what's going on structurally there to get the roof taken care of and to get the walls taken care of. We did observe, Dwayne and I, the inspector in this case, did observe some cracks in the concrete flooring in the garage area, but we couldn't determine if they went all the way through the house. Yes, Ms. Wilson.
Patricia Wilson with a question. I noticed that you're also giving a violation of 34142.
Right.
This house, it wasn't mentioned before. Is it?
We would just require it to be registered, so that we could determine who to contact, and it would requires the posting of who to contact on the house itself.
So it's not on the deed, or
it is on the deed, but for the police department or the fire department to respond, they might not have access to all that information, and if they responded, or if a person, a neighbor, part of the registration ordinance requires that the name of the owner and the phone number or emergency contact number be displayed on the residence, and that's
because it is
vacant.
Vacant.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. And it's been vacant for since about 5 of '09 now.
Bill Bachlis with a question.
Yes, sir.
I thought we were only doing that, like only banks that were foreclosing on property were having to register homes.
No, the ordinance covers abandoned, vacant, or foreclosed homes. It covers all three.
Okay, so you're willing to accept 60 days to bring the residents up?
Yes, sir.
And then
we would be willing to accept his petition due to the fact he came in and had a meeting with several of the executive.
So basically you're adding 30 days to everything in your recommendation?
Yes, sir. Well, except for the 180 days, because that terminates by state law.
Okay.
So he would have 60 days to obtain a permit to get the building something done if he wanted to repair the structure, 180 days to complete it after he obtained that building permit, or 60 days to obtain the permit to demolish with an additional 60 days to get the demolition work done and cleaned up.
Okay. All right. We've heard the evidence and we've reviewed the petition. Is there anybody else that wants to speak on behalf of the defendant present? No. In that case,
Giorgio Placanico, I'll make a motion that we accept that recommendation, the 60 days.
I'll second that. That's Latricia Wilson.
Okay. Giorgio, we've got a motion. We've got a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Passes unanimous.
If it pleases the board, we go back to the first case on the agenda, case COM 10-1676. This is a case involving the city of Ocala versus the Henry V. Phillips Estate and SunTrust Mortgage, Inc. A case location at 414 Northeast 21st Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, other unsightly and sanitary matter. Section 34122, abandoned or derelict vehicles. Section 34141, the definition of a structure requiring registration. And Section 34142, registration of property by mortgagees. The parcel ID is 2830-007-022. Legal service was obtained on 11-12-2010 for the NOV and 11-26-2010 for the NOH for the bank. The certified mail has been returned from the respondent. We legally posted the property on 11-8-2010 for the NOV and 11-23-2010 for the NOH. There is a list of tenants on file. Basically, Officer Lorraine Kennedy responded to this location due to citizens' complaint and upon arrival observed the violations as noted above. Additional investigation by Officer Kennedy revealed there has been a less pendants filed upon the property with the clerk of the courts by SunTrust Bank, who was also noticed in the case. All attempts by Officer Kennedy to resolve the violation have been unsuccessful, and the violation remains. I would draw your attention to the end of the presentation where it indicated by photograph, and I would also point out that Ms. Kennedy did send an initial nice letter to the bank and the respondent, attempted to get them to respond that way. However, we haven't had any response from them. Ms. Kennedy is here and present and prepared to testify this evening. Basically, we have just the junk and debris strewn about in the backyard, citizen's complaint, and we're wanting them to take care of the property. They would also be required to register this property due to the fact that it is in foreclosure.
Latricia Wilson, Chip, where is the derelict vehicle? Is that the boat?
Yes,
that's
ma'am.
Derelict?
Under state law, it's considered a vehicle.
Because it's on a trailer, or is it?
Well, no, because it's just kind of sitting in the backyard on the ground.
And nobody's.
As if we had a flood.
No one's driving.
No.
Giorgio Placanico, Chip, has they been cutting that grass or anything?
I don't know what's going on as far as that's concerned. Lorraine, has anybody been cutting the grass?
Yeah.
It's just the junk and debris that's left.
Yeah, they've been cutting the grass. They haven't touched anything in the backyard.
They have been cutting the grass. Mm-hmm.
Someone has.
Okay, does the board have any questions of the city?
One
that
question,
has a recommendation.
Scott Cattleman. Mm-hmm. Houses, people are living there still?
No, there's no one living there now.
Oh, vacant. The house is vacant?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, in lieu of reading the staff recommendation, that can be found on page 2.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there anybody here representing the estate of Henry B. Phillips or SunTrust Mortgage, Inc., in regard to this case? Let the record show that no one's present. Is there any other discussion?
Accept staff recommendation? No.
Albertine Brown makes the motion.
Albertine Brown, yes, sorry.
Georgia Placanico seconds the motion.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to accept the staff recommendation. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Pass unanimous.
We do have representation on a petition here this evening. If this, if it pleases the board to go to page 5 of the agenda, CUN 1098, a case involving Officer Dwayne Thomas, Henry, and Jessica Donders and City Mortgage, Inc. I've brought that up on the Telestrator unless anyone else has any questions. The bank is requesting a reduction here. I'll let them speak for themselves. I would say that the city has a case cost sheet right above that one that shows our costs involved in the cleanup and the care of this property and the fines that were levied by this board against the property. The city would stand in opposition of a reduction, and I'll call the respondent from the bank up now.
Good evening. Lance
Morley.
Please
raise the right hand so I can swear in. Okay. Thank you.
Lance Morley on behalf of the city. I had a late email on this. It looks like my client, they sent a check over in the amount of $1,150. It was already sent over to the city of Ocala. At this point, I think the only thing that remains is $875 in administrative costs. At which point, right now, we would ask that those administrative costs are waived. It looks like these individuals were in bankruptcy for some time, which hindered our client from actually getting over there and taking over the property as needed. Again, the check was issued. The only thing that remains is the $875 for administrative costs, and at this time, we would ask that that is removed.
And Chip, what are the total expenses on this? $1,150.
They gave us a check for the $1,150, which was the cost. So what's left due is the $375 for the first charge and the $375 for the second charge, for 15 days of non-compliance on each charge, and $125 for administrative costs for preparing and presenting the case before this board.
I apologize for that. Until the administrative cost was it actually $875. I apologize for that.
I would go with the fine. I won't go with administrative.
So, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Latricia Wilson, question for you. So it's $375 plus $375 plus $125, and that gives you the $875 that we're talking about. And they want that waived, the total $875.
Correct.
Including the administrative fee of $125. Okay.
We normally don't. Yeah. The administrative fee is the cost incurred from having to process it. We normally will allow the other, and they've already paid the $1,150. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would say we waived the $750.
And again, I'd just like to reiterate that the work was not done just because of that they were in active bankruptcy. I believe that. I have it as being the automatic stay was lifted in September of this year, at which point after that they subsequently proceeded to have work done on the property. I have attached on the second on this amended petition for reduction all the receipts and invoices for the work that was done on the property as well.
Okay. Normally how we treat these is that there's an administrative cost for bringing the case to the board, and in that we also want to recover any expenses incurred by the city as well. So we don't have a motion yet, but usually how it goes is we'll the fines we're willing to give some leniency on, but we do need to recover the actual expenses of the city and the administrative costs.
Okay.
So I don't have a motion in front of me yet, but that's normally how it goes.
So I guess looking at the, I guess, overall, again, the grand total, I'm noting it's $2,025, and there's already been a check issued for $1,150. Is there, I guess, any way that grand total can be reduced at all?
Well, Latricia Wilson with another question here. You said that you all took possession in September of...
Correct.
September.
The
fine is only for 15 days, so you had possession at that point. Is that not correct, or am I misreading this?
No, I had it down. The automatic stay from the bankruptcy was actually lifted in that date, September September 2010.
Uh-huh.
I think to clarify that, the fine, if I'm not correct, the fine would have ended when the city went in and abated the nuisance and incurred the cost. So there was 15 days before the city went in and actually did the work.
Okay.
And what's happened now, the bank has since paid the $1,150 to reimburse the city for the cost they expended. And what's before you is, like you indicated, there's an administrative cost of $125 and there are 15 days of fines.
Okay.
And obviously they're asking for any consideration.
Right.
So,
I mean, I'd be willing to
go ahead, Jeff. Giorgio Percanico. In other words, they already have a check for $1,150. That was for work that was already done.
That was for work that the city
did.
Okay. Yes, sir.
And then the $700 of $750 is in fine, right?
Right.
Yes, sir.
And
I'll make a motion.
Okay. Mr. Placanico would like to make a motion.
I'll make a motion that we waive the $750 fine and everything else stands.
And so the administrative costs of $125 would be due when?
Within 7 days.
Well, we usually do 14.
14 days, fine.
Or reverts.
Reverts back.
Okay, so we have a motion on that we would reduce the fine to zero, recover the administrative costs of $125 within 14 days, calendar days?
Yes.
Business days, calendar days, whatever.
Calendar days?
Calendar days.
Okay, or it reverts to the original amount. I have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second
by Mr. Cattleman. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Passed unanimous. So just $125.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep,
have a good evening.
If it pleases the board, I'll bring us back to page 2 of the agenda. In case number CON 10-1517, a case involving Officer Dwayne Thomas, the City of Ocala versus Gregory Peck, and CLS Investment Properties LLC. Give me just a minute to get my paperwork, please. This is a case location of 617 Northwest 1st Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly, unsanitary matter, and Section 34122, abandoned or derelict vehicles. The parcel ID is 2856-006-001. Legal services obtained 10-4-2010 for the NOV and the NOH. We legally posted the property 10-1-2010 for the NOV and 11-19-2010 for the NOH. There is a less pendants on file here, and we also have a copy of the SunBiz report. The basic summary of findings are as follows. I have included some photographs at the end of your presentation for you. Officer Dwayne Thomas responded to this location at the request of the Ocala Police Department to support them during a drug raid where there were several arrests made. Upon arrival, Officer Thomas observed a violation of the city's code as stated above. Additional investigation by Officer Thomas revealed there has been a less pendants filed with the clerk of the courts with respect to this property. Attempts by Officer Thomas to work with the respondent since September 2010 achieved some results to abate the violations of the code. However, after 90 days, some of the violations still remain. And our basic problems now are just that we have some junk and debris upon the property, and we also have numerous unregistered, untagged vehicles that are derelict upon the property that we would require abatement upon. And I have also included the staff recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation.
Giorgio Percanico, is that place occupied?
It is currently occupied. And you see that we had some clearing, if you go through the pictures, we had some clearing of junk and debris, but then we had additional junk and debris brought to the property, so we're still working. We need to bring it off the center here and get the work done.
Latricia Wilson, I make a motion that we accept the city recommendations.
Well, before we make a motion, is everybody here to represent Gary Peck? Let the record report no one's here. And we've got a motion from Latricia Wilson to accept the staff recommendation. Do we have a second?
I'll do a second. Albertine Brown.
Albertine Brown, second. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Passed unanimously.
That'll bring us to the next case on the agenda, a case of the City of Ocala versus Leo A. McFadden, a case location, or a case involving Officer Dwayne Thomas, a city location of 1703 Northwest 18th Court, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 34-95, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly unsanitary matter, Section 34-122, abandoned or derelict vehicles, and Section 122-1193. Parking trailers, commercial vehicles in a residential area, and trailers used for storage. The parcel ID is 2195172-000. All certified mail has been returned. We legally posted the property on 10/21/2010 for the MOV and 11/19/2010 for the NOH. We have included in your case file a copy of the email received by code enforcement complaining about this property from the Neighborhood Watch Organization. That's on page 3. Of your presentation. Essentially, Ms. Reed contacted the code enforcement office. Officer Dwayne Thomas responded to this location due to Citizens and Neighborhood Watch phone call and email, which has been attached to the case. Upon arrival, Officer Thomas observed the violation as noted above. Additional investigation by Officer Thomas revealed that the respondent has moved vehicles on and off the property and removed the notices left, who have not abated the violations noted. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent clear all the violations, but unsuccessful, and the violations remain. I would also show that, as Ms. Ruth indicated in her, or alluded to in her email, there have been two notices by the Marion County Code Enforcement Board against this individual for his property out in the county where he currently lives for the same violation. So I'm thinking that
he's moved him from the county over
to the city, but of course we have the same rules and regulations against storing those vehicles as stated. I would also point out, if you'll notice, we had a large trailer moved out there. We still have the junk and debris out there and numerous commercial and construction vehicles that just seem to come and go. And I can't fault Ms. Reed at all on this, in her assessment of the situation. Staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation, and I do have Inspector Thomas here. He has had some contact with the respondent, however, we're just not getting the results required.
Okay. Does the board have any questions of Inspector Thomas?
No.
At this time, is there anybody here to represent Leo A. McFadden? Mr. McFadden's not here, no one here to represent him. Let the record reflect that. Is there any discussion among the board?
I'll make a motion.
Okay, a motion.
We accept city recommendations.
Okay. Latricia Wilson makes the motion to accept.
I'll second.
Scott Kettleman seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Pass unanimous.
If it pleases the board, we've moved to page 4 of the agenda, case CON 101765, a case involving Inspector and Officer Jim Bowe. This is a case of the City of Ocala versus Kenneth K. Fogle, of the location in the city of 4412 Southeast 15th Street. Violation, we've reduced one violation here because we had some compliance achieved. A violation of Section 3432, water collections, and Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly unsanitary matter. I have placed photos at the end of your presentation that demonstrate what we're talking about here. The parcel ID is 29651-002-03. All certified mail has been returned. We legally posted the property on 11/2/2010 for the NOV and 11/19/2010 for the NOH. We have an email from citizen complaint reporting the violation, which has also been included as part of your presentation. Basically, Officer James Vaux responded to this location due to complaint. Upon arrival, observed the violation of city's code as stated above. Additional investigation by Officer Bo revealed there has been some compliance achieved. However, there are violations that have not been taken care of. All certified mail has been returned. The respondent has not made contact with the code enforcement division. The realtor did have some contact with Inspector Bo. They're basically trying to sell the residence. And we do have staff recommendation at the bottom of page 2. Apparently, what we've been able to glean through public record is that the respondents are in a divorce and the house is going to be sold.
Chip, I wasn't clear, just for their record. Yes. You said there was some compliance.
We did have some compliance with the barrier requirements for the pool.
So those have been
Those are dropped. I apologize. Sections
82.512A.
Yes. So now we're just at the 3432 and the 3495.
Water accumulation.
Latricia Wilson, quick question, Chip.
Yes, ma'am.
There's a jet ski in the back with on a trailer. Is that not cited for vehicle, abandoned vehicle?
If they have a trailer and it's registered,
uh-huh.
That would not be a violation of the code.
But if
so, it's not sitting on the ground, it's actually being trailered, and there is...
So there's an updated tag on it or something?
I don't know from Inspector Bowe's comment. I believe that the other picture shows that that it was removed.
Okay.
Does anybody else have any questions of the city?
No.
Is Count K. Vogel or anybody here to represent Mr. Vogel here this evening? Let the record reflect that there is no one here to represent Mr. Vogel, or he's not present. Do we have any discussion among the board?
What do they got on that drain cleaning?
It's, item number two in the staff recommendation says drain or treat all standing water collections upon the property and cover the pool.
No day. Time?
Cut and clean and property in the area? All within 14 days.
Did we change it to 7?
We can, but I don't know that it does really.
As long as its barrier has been taken care of.
The barrier has been taken care of, so now it's just the water.
It's closed up.
If it was the barrier, then I could see 7.
Normally, the barrier we do try to get done sooner, but it's going to take us probably 14 days to get it into.
I'll make a, Giorgio Placanico, I'll make a motion that we accept staff recommendation.
Okay, we have a motion from Giorgio. We have a second.
I'll second Albert Brown.
Okay.
Second to
motion. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Passed unanimous.
That would bring us to the next case on the agenda, COM 101777, a case involving Officer James Vaux, City of Ocala versus HIC Enterprises, Inc., care of Herb Kahn. Case location of 1321 Southwest 4th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly, unsanitary matter. I have placed some photographs at the end of your presentation to indicate the condition at the location. And I would point out that the parcel ID is 2845074010. All certified mail has been returned. We legally post the property on 11-4-2010 for the NOV, 11-22-2010 for the NOH. We have included the copy of the email complaint in the SunBiz report. Officer James Vaux responded to this location due to complaint upon arrival, observed the violations as noted. Additional investigation revealed this is a repeat violation at this location with this respondent, thereby qualifying this violation as a repeat offender under Chapter 162 of the Florida Statutes. All attempts by Officer Vaux to have the respondent abate the violations have been unsuccessful, and the violation remains. As part of the record, I would indicate that we have included a previous copy of the findings of fact on the first case in this, and the findings of fact were on case COM 090418, where this board heard this case on April 15, 2009, and again on July 9, 2009, ordered that the property be cut, cleaned up. The city abated the property, and I've indicated that with the affidavit of compliance indicated on page 9 of your presentation. The compliance was achieved by the city on September 9th of 2009. The city would respectfully request this therefore be qualified as a repeat violator, and we do have a staff recommendation at the bottom of page 2, or I apologize, at the bottom of, I believe it is page 2 still.
Bill Bockwitz has a question.
Yes, sir.
Are there fines or money owed the city already on this property?
Yes, sir, there are. There is a previous lien still pending unpaid.
Do you know what that amount is?
I can look it up for you. I have that ability right here.
This is the third time.
I don't know.
HIC Enterprise.
switch over to via your blue button, I'll display that for you on the Telestrator. The case cost sheet in the previous compliance. As soon as the computer brings it up, there we go. We had a total of $25 per day on the first charge, 44 days of non-compliance for $34.95 at $1,100. $25 per day, 44 days non-compliance on the second charge of Section 82182 for $1,100. We had $600 in subsequent order, $125 in administrative costs for $2,925 in total lien.
This is Bill Bockwitz again, Eric. Would we have not have already considered this property for foreclosure?
Well, I can help you with that.
Or go ahead, Chip.
We have the ability to foreclose.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's been the city's policy for the last year or two that we not foreclose on properties due to the case costs involved in the foreclosure, and then the upkeep and maintenance of the taxes that are due and everything else that's required on the property. Due to the economic situation right now, the city's not foreclosing on properties unless the city has a use for that property, whether it be to turn it over to Habitat for Humanity for rehab, or to as part of a project in Busby where we are actively seeking 8 foreclosures and abatements of properties in there right now so that we can turn those into what's going to become Phoenix Heights. It's a policy decision by the city, the best that I can explain. We are doing more than we have in the last year, in the last few months.
Well, the recommendations in the orders simply say that to refer to the city attorney for consideration, so as long as that's being done, that's all.
Yes, sir.
If it's the city's policy, that's what it is.
Yes, sir.
Latricia Wilson with a question. You have on here a fine of $500 per day in your city recommendations.
Yes, that's due to a repeat violation.
But I thought normally in residential we go from $25 a day to $50 a day. In businesses we go $250 to $500. Is there...
On repeat violators, we've always asked for $500 a day. What we normally had done on the initial fine would be $25 residential and $50 for business.
Mm-hmm.
But on repeats, we generally have... We have always asked for $500 per day on all of our repeats.
And sometimes, even on the individual one as a citizen, it's $250 sometimes per repeat, depending on how many times they've repeated. So, but
each time I've prepared them, I've always asked for the maximum.
Five.
So the maximum is $500. Maximum.
And this actually is a business, HIC Enterprises Inc.
Yeah.
But the location is a residential.
Right. Okay.
We would certainly have a different attitude if we had any contact with this individual or any support from this individual for getting anything done here at all.
Right.
But we just haven't had that.
Okay. So we have evidence produced by the city. Does the board have any other questions from other city? Is everybody here representing HIC Enterprises Inc.? Let the record reflect. No one's here.
The city would respectfully request a finding that they are a repeat violator as well.
Okay. Right. Any discussion amongst the board?
No.
We have a motion.
Scott Cattleman, I'll make a motion. So we use the staff recommendation and we do find them as a repeat violator.
Okay. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Georgia Plakanico, I'll second that motion.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Passed unanimously.
That would bring us to the petitions portion of the tonight's meeting, and the first case at the bottom of page 4 would be COM 09-1352, the City of Ocala versus Deutsche Bank National Trust Company, Sue King, RELS, title agent, 1352, and I have included that in your petition section so that you can observe what they have stated in their petition. The city would stand to deny this petition on a number of facets. First of all, we had a couple of situations, the next petition is for the same property, and We've had a lot of problem with getting Deutsche Bank or their representatives to do anything in the city with any of their properties or to even register any of their properties. It seems as though we don't hear from them until we get a repeat violation charge brought up against them where the fine gets jacked up. And in this case, you'll see that the fine is not very expensive by our standards. They had 37 days of noncompliance at $25 a day. We subsequently went in and did the work for $132, and we have administrative costs of $125. On the second charge, where they were found as a repeat violator at the same location before they took care of anything, which is in case COM 10-1065, we had $14,000 accrue due to the repeat violator fine. The city would stand to reduce that to $5,000 with the cost, which is what we have traditionally done.
Are we still talking about the same case, 1017-77?
No, actually, there's two there for the same property.
1352
okay.
And 1065, and they're all filed by the same people. So we would not support any reduction in the first case, and in the second case, we would support a reduction to $5,000 in the amount of fine, because that's consistent with what we have done with others who have stepped up to now take care of their repeat violator clause. If you remember at the last board meeting, we reduced Iberian Bank's fines for all four of their cases down to $5,000 each.
Latricia Wilson, question. Have they done anything to mitigate any of the property? Have they brought them in compliance?
Yes. At this point, they have brought the properties into compliance. I believe that this title agent has stayed up on top of it, but they still have not registered the properties with us. So coming soon to a possibly to a board hearing or a special magistrate will be maybe another violation of the registration.
Okay, but shouldn't we be hearing these one at a time?
We can.
Yeah,
and you would have to make motions on them one at a time anyways.
Right.
Okay, so
I'm just going to let you know that on the first one, COM 09-1352, the city stands in opposition of a reduction of fine.
Okay, so let's talk about that and get that finished first.
I think we should leave it.
I would.
I agree
with that. So we don't have to do any. We don't have to make a motion of any sort. It's just denied.
Yeah, the petition is denied by lack of motion. And case
call.
Number.
Is anyone making a motion?
No.
They're on the record.
Yeah. Is anybody making a motion?
Latricia Wilson, I make a motion that we accept the city recommendation and deny request for reduction.
Yeah, I don't know if we need a motion for that.
Procedurally,
though.
You don't have to do that. I mean,
why'd you ask?
I'm sorry.
I'm
on the record, you know, that it's clear that you'll have an opportunity to make the motion.
No.
Yeah, my statement was that the petition is denied due to lack of a motion.
Right.
Yeah. And so he just wanted to make sure that there wasn't one. So I guess so. Okay, so we're good there. Okay, so that's in case COM 10-1777.
Be quiet.
Okay, so now,
that brings us to case COM
10-1065.
Oh,
sorry, 1352. Let me restate that.
Yeah.
That denial petition was for COM 09-1352, and then now we're looking at
case COM 10-1065.
Okay.
Same respondent and same agent. In fact, they cut and pasted the same statement.
So the city's asking to reduce the fine.
The city would support a reduction of the $14,000 of the administrative fine to $5,000.
Just for the record, since we're not here, I object to the inference that cutting and pasting is somehow
a problem.
I'd ask the board not to
consider that.
Consider that as an adverse fact.
I have a question. Albertine Brown.
About
the administrative fee?
Those would remain intact, as well as the cost of the work completed by the city.
Okay. So just to make it clear, the city's only offering to reduce the fine from $14,000 to $5,000, and you would retain the imposing fine and the administrative cost.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Giorgio Placanico, I would make a motion that we reduce the $14,000 fine to $5,000, and the other two stand as they are.
Okay, so that would give a total amount of $5,253.25.
And
if paid within,
I don't know.
Normally you guys would do it 14 days or it reverts.
14 days fine or it reverts back.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Cattleman. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Passed unanimous.
Okay, we've already heard the last two petitions for reduction. That's going to bring us to the non-compliance hearing. We can run these as a consent.
I'm sorry, Chip. Did we hear 1884?
Yes, sir. That was the we agreed to that 60-day extension.
Okay. Okay. So we have.
And I would like to run as a consent agenda the Massey non-compliance hearings, and I would read the case numbers into the record: CUM 10-0029, CUM 10-1424, CUM 10-1427, CUM 10-1451, CUM 10-1487, CUM 10-1495. CUM 10-1526, CUM 10-1567, CUM 10-1568, CUM 10-1576, and CUM 10-1603. We would respectfully request a motion from the board that they affirm the previous orders issued in this case due to noncompliance, and I can attest that we have an affidavit of noncompliance filed in each case.
Okay. Do we have a motion from the board?
Doing a motion with the board. With the
Okay, we have a motion from Albertine Brown proceed with the enforcement on these cases.
Consistent with what we regularly request, I respectfully request that we include all of the.
Don't we just need a second?
Yeah.
Oh, I apologize. I thought we already.
I make a motion. Giorgio Placanico will make a motion that we second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Passed unanimous.
The city would respectfully request that all evidence, testimonies, documentation prepared and presented at this evening's board meeting be accepted into the record.
Georgia Placanico, I make a motion that we accept the all the records into the record, whatever they are.
All the evidence in the record. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Cattleman. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Records.
Consistent with what we try to do in the holidays, we try to keep it light for y'all.
Yep. Thank you.
We got a lot of cases off the board hearing this evening, so got a lot of compliance.
Nice job. I'd like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
I second it.
Wish everybody a happy and safe holiday.
Same to you.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and when it's still okay to say Merry Christmas.
Yes.
You too, Eric.
Yeah. You too. Thank you.
Was she going to remain, or is she
resigning? From the email that we received, I believe she's going to resign from her position on the board due to her eyesight. She's having problems driving at night and reading, and she wants to try to retain that as long as possible. Our goal is probably to try and recruit a contractor, building contractor, someone in the trades to the board, as the state law asks us to look for.
Pat's been on the board as long as I have. She's been on quite a little while, and
we intend
really
to get a
plaque
that will let you all make a presentation to her at the next board meeting.
That'd be fantastic. Yeah.
I thought they made him at the council meeting.
We can do it either way. Normally, what we would do is ask you all to the council meeting if you want to do it that way and have council present her.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
I think we did that with Gloria.
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Yeah. We
presented at the city council.
Yeah, let's try to set that up.
Very good. We'll work on it. We'll let you know.
Sounds great. Okay. Is there any other business? With all that said, meeting adjourned.
Thank you very much.
We get our bonus checks now.
It's in the mail.
Yeah. Now,